Good morning, my friends. This is Pastor Stephen Brooks. Welcome today to Morning Glory, our midweek Bible study. And I'm so glad that you're here today, hungry for God's Word and wanting to know the ways of God, the path of God. We're going to be talking about these types of things today as we are going to discuss the wisdom of God for the end times. Woo! Praise God. But before we begin, let me say a big thank you to everybody that sowed into the Resurrection Sunday morning offering. I tell you what a powerful day it was, and I saw all of your giving coming in online, also the giving that came in through the mail, not just on Sunday, but the days leading up to it, even some of it, a little bit of it after Sunday. So I just want to say thank you for sowing your seed. And my wife and I and our team, we are believing with you to receive financial miracles, breakthroughs, closer walk with God, amazing things to unfold and happen in your life that will bring glory to the Lord and put a big smile on your face. Woo! Praise the Lord. So thank you. Praise God. Your giving, really, I know it touched God's heart. And I tell you what, it touched my heart too to see the outpouring of love for the Lord, for this ministry work, and I greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much. We're standing in faith with you for your harvest. Mm-mm. Praise God. Now today, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 10 and 11, and I've always liked the book of Ephesians. Theologians call it the book of superlative upon superlative. Just when you think Paul, the apostle, has said something under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and you think it's so amazing that you can't stack anything else on top of that, somehow Paul, with the help of the Holy Spirit, finds a way just to do that. So it is, it's like amazing upon amazing. It's the fullness of what Jesus accomplished at Calvary being unveiled for us so that we can appropriate it and enjoy what he has purchased and paid such an incredible price for us to receive. So let's begin today with prayer. Heavenly Father, as we go into your word to study your wisdom, we ask that your Holy Spirit would turn on the light, the wisdom light. We thank you that with you, oh God, there's an answer to every problem. We thank you that you're going to be helping us today. Those that are listening and watching, thank you, Father. Let answers come even as they listen attentively. Now we give you all the praise. Thank you for the ministry of your Spirit and for your anointed word. In Jesus' name, and together we say, amen. Now let's jump over to verse 10. And Paul, the apostle, says, to the intent that now, right now, so this is going to be unfolding in your life in this current time, that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. So that means God wants to shine some things through you, express some things through you, do some things through you, that the wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places or the heavenly realms. Now, I agree with commentaries and commentators that this would be evil principalities and powers, and it certainly has that context throughout the New Testament that when this type of identification is used, it is going over in the direction of those of darkness. So these are the evil principalities and powers in the heavenly realms. So catch what God wants to do right now in your life. It says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, God is going to express such wisdom through the end time church, it is going to completely embarrass and humiliate the powers of darkness. It will also, in many ways, embarrass sinners who reject God, don't want anything to do with God, but their problems aren't going away. They're going to get worse and worse, and without God, there is no solution. But for us, the glory of the Lord will be seen greater and greater upon us, and it will be a light that will draw many to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, again, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God. Now, that can be expressed in different words, and if you look at different translations, they can word it a little bit differently. I like the word manifold, but I like the word better, multifaceted. And I think we can wrap our minds around that a little bit better. So there is the multifaceted wisdom of God. One translation says, wisdom in all its different forms. And that is certainly true. You know, when you think about the menorah with the seven branches and they're all burning, they all have the flame of the Holy Spirit. Yet we see also in Isaiah chapter 11, the first three verses, we see the seven spirits of the Lord identified. So there is one spirit, but he has these unique attributes that they can stand alone on themselves, but yet it's still one spirit. That's why we see that the manifold wisdom of God can also be called wisdom in all its different forms. Also, one translation says, rich variety of the wisdom of God. Another one says, the innumerable aspects of God's wisdom. And I believe that while, of course, there are mentioned in the Word of God seven spirits of God, in some ways it's innumerable because just in the New Testament alone, you see different expressions of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of faith. So it goes on and on. So there is the multifaceted wisdom of God, and it will be made known to these principalities and powers. How? By the church. That means you and me, God's people in America, God's people around the world. God is going to be flowing his multifaceted wisdom through his people. He might do it through you a little bit different than how he might do it through somebody else. It may look a little bit different in North Carolina than what it would look like in the underground church in China, but it doesn't matter how it flows. We just want to access it, yield to the deep things of God, and let God flow. And what this wisdom of God does is it takes you to the top. Now, that's where all the sinners want to be. They all envy, crave, even covet the best of whatever it might be. But God is going to exalt and lift his people up to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim salvation in Christ alone. And there is wisdom through the Word of God by the Spirit that you'll never, ever in a million years ever learn on planet Earth in a university, a state-run university. They simply won't teach it. And if somebody even tried, they'd throw them out. The wisdom of God is so far above earthly wisdom. And when we tie into the heavenly wisdom, which is the wisdom that is above all, then we begin to go upward by God's grace. Woo! Praise God. So it is multifaceted. And I actually saw one translation that even said, I saw one commentary on the Greek that said this word can also be translated even as multicolored. Woo, praise God. I like that because the seven spirits of the Lord also line up with seven different colors. So the colors amongst the body, because the body of Christ within the earth is so large, the colors will cover the whole gamut. So you want to get in the flow that God has for you, and it's going to take you upward to exalt and bring glory to the name of Jesus. And others, they may be writing that wisdom up also, but maybe with a little bit of a different color. Maybe they caught a revelation from God, and they're going with that. See, this is something that's very important. You have to have revelation that somehow gets married to reality, because you can catch a revelation and you can see it, and you could say, I know that's true, but you've never had it happen to you. Do you see what I'm saying? So There's some ministers. I've caught the revelation of what they're teaching. It's beautiful, and it's in some ways it's unique, but it's not really my message. But when it is your message, it becomes something that you're very comfortable with and you're very, very familiar with. Woo! And thus you can preach that, or thus, of course, not everybody's a preacher, but thus you can live that. So you've got to get the revelation when you actually see it. You've got to get it into you, whether you pound it into yourself by just meditate and you're thinking about it and you're quoting it, confessing what God said in His Word, and you're reading further and studying more along that line. It will get into you, and eventually, what will happen? It's not just a revelation, but it's now it's a reality. In other words, there's proofs, there's evidences that go along with what you're proclaiming. Woo! Glory to God. So I see the wisdom of God flowing through you to a degree that even when people laugh perhaps about you or talk behind your back about you, yet at the same time, they've got to eat it. Why? Because you're blessed. and they can't deny that. Now, they can criticize. They can wag their tongues. They can go on YouTube or Facebook and make negative comments. But the fact is that they cannot deny, though, that you are walking in something that they don't have. Wow. Which is interesting, because it is a awful, awful mistake to criticize biblical prosperity. Because anything that you despise, you could never attract to yourself. Anything that you have a resentment for. Let's say that that you're poor and you have a resentment towards rich people, and you just resent rich people. Well, then how in the world could you ever become rich when you resent something? So you can never become something that you resent. So with the multifaceted wisdom of God, when you discover truth and you walk in the light of that, of course, not everybody's going to jump on the truth bus, but when you ride that glory bus, amen, there will be the scoffers. But keep on riding, stay in the glory, stay in the Word, and what the wisdom of God is going to do, it's going to embarrass and humiliate the principalities and powers. Woo! Woo! Praise God! Hallelujah! So this is wonderful. So God is building up a glorious church, not a defeated church. God is building up a glorious church, and it will not have a spot or wrinkle. That's where we're going. That is the church that Jesus is coming back for. So for a church, for God's people not to have spot or wrinkle, we're looking at a body of believers around the world that have no debt, see, no spot, no wrinkle, not being chased down by a debt collector. We're going to have the body so strong there will be no debt. I'm going to go further. There's not going to be any sickness or disease in the end time church that's ready to meet the coming of the Lord. Catherine Kuhlman prophesied that. People almost fell out when she prophesied that. They thought, how could that be? But yet, when God brought His people out of Egypt, He brought them out with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among the millions that came out. Well, how could God just suddenly heal all those 2.5 to 3 million people? That's not my responsibility. That's God. But He brought them out, loaded financially and also healthy. Nobody was being pushed through that Red Sea opening in a wheelchair. Grandma and Grandpa were not walking with crutches hooked up to an oxygen tank. No, glory to God, they were walking. Everybody listening to me, you should challenge yourself to be able to at least walk in one day, if you need it to, 14 miles. Why? Why? It's the biblical standard. That's why. Now, we don't have to be like Daniel Boone, the great American frontiersman who said any normal man should be able to walk 44 miles a day. Okay, we've got electric bicycles and we've got cars and trucks, and not many people are walking 44 miles a day. Okay, well, let Daniel Boone have his specialty niche. But when the two men were walking from Jerusalem on the road to Emmaus, and they were talking deep in talk, when Jesus joins in on the trek, and the conversation becomes quite delicious, and they walk and walk all the way till it was about sundown, and they compelled him to stop, saying, the night's almost here, and let's get some food, come on in, stay with us. And he went in with them. And they broke bread together, and Jesus was revealed to them through the breaking of the bread. And the men were so excited because Jesus expounded on all of the scriptures to them about the messianic prophecies found in the Old Testament. And so they were just full. They were so full of the word, and also had a wonderful communion meal that they turned right back around. Did you catch that in the scriptures? They turned right back around and walked from Emmaus all the way back to Jerusalem. By the way, ancient Emmaus is modern-day Kirjath-Jearim. Mm-mm. Same place where the Ark of the Covenant used to be at for 20 years. That is, and the leading archaeologists agree that is. There's some doubt about it amongst others, but I know with all of my heart it is. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Glory. Glory. Let me get back to my story. By the way, Jerusalem to Emmaus, 7 miles. And they turned around the same day after having walked 7 miles and walked 7 miles all the way back. Pastor Stephen, I feel so inspired that on the weekend I'm going to do it. Okay. Well, just to make sure you're ready. If you're not quite ready, you haven't walked a mile in the last 10 years, you might want to kind of slowly build up to that. Praise God. I think maybe you could do 7. I don't know about the 14, praise God, but that would be a nice standard, wouldn't it? But we're talking about health. We're talking about blessed. And the world's going to go further and further in debt. And the credit card agencies are happy to accommodate that. And the World Economic Forum will continue to plunge other nations into debts with low interest loans that basically tie them up, until Jesus comes back. But God's people are going to be free from all of that. We're operating on a different system. We're actually operating on different wisdom. Mm-mm. Hallelujah. No spot, no wrinkle. Let's go further. No blemish. Thank you, Jesus. The church will be greatly respected and will be a force around the world to be reckoned with. There won't be pushing the church around anymore. That is something that a very well-known prophet also prophesied would happen in the year 2030. Now, I followed his prophecies. He said the 1980s would, actually he said the 1970s would be this, the 80s would be that, the 90s would be known for this, the year to a decade of the first 2000 would be known for this, and 2010 decade would be this, and he got it right on every single one. And he is saying that the 2030s, beginning in 2030, will be the decade in which you cannot push the church around anymore. Why? Too strong. Too unified and too strong. If you mess with them, you're going to mess with all of us. If you think you're going to shut that church down, you're going to have to shut us all down, and we're too strong to all be shut down. Mm-mm. Kind of reminds me of the time that they made false accusations many decades back against Dr. Paul Youngi Cho, and they said, we're going to come arrest you. He said, well, my church members aren't too happy about that. You know these are false charges that you're cooking up against me. Well, we're going to come anyhow and arrest you. He says, well, I hope you understand my whole church is willing to go to jail with me, and they're planning to do that. So if you're going to arrest me, you're going to also have to arrest 1 million people. And you know what? That kind of clicked in their dull brains, and they backed off of their stupid idea, and they left him alone. Well, praise the Lord. So the church will be a force to be reckoned with, and this is a church that has practical dominion in all areas of life. Good marriages, stable families, taking good care of our kids, not just throwing them off in the state schools and letting them get indoctrinated with atheism and all kinds of perversion. But no, solid families, solid churches, blessed careers, entrepreneurs, businessmen, business women. I tell you what, it's already beginning to happen. So the purpose of strengthening the church is for, really, it's for the ultimate appearing of Jesus. A strong church signifies also the Lord's very, very near return. Let's look at this in Psalms 102. Praise the Lord. I sure am glad that you're here today and that you love the Lord and that you love His Word and that you crave His wisdom. Psalm 102, let's go to verse 16. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in His glory. Now, most translations, the KJV, actually says, for when the Lord shall build up Zion, He shall appear in His glory. So this does give us some very clear insight into the Lord's return. The church must come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ before His appearing. He's coming back for the church in a full, mature image, woo, of Himself. Mm-mm. And this is why Jesus is committed to building up the church. And listen, the primary instrument through which He's going to work is wisdom. Mm-mm. Proverbs 24. Let's go over to the book of wisdom. Proverbs 24, let me grab a drink real quick. The whole chapter is really good, but let's go to verse 3. Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding it is established, by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Every woman who has a home really needs to know Proverbs 24:3 and Psalm 112, because it says, by knowledge the rooms are filled. And men, let the women do that. they have the eye for it. They have the knack. Let them run the house, in a sense, while you do the things that men are called to do, and let the women put the nice furniture in there. Now, they're going to want you to move it around. I know my wife does for me. Stephen, pick that up, put that over there. But my friends, we need to understand that the house is initially built. We got to start at the beginning. It's built how? By wisdom. Mm-mm. Wisdom is therefore very crucial to the end time workings of God. Why? Because the house that's being built is the house of God, and we, His people, are this house. Now, Proverbs 24, let's go further, verse 5. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. So here we see that a wise man is strong, and when you walk in God's wisdom, you're going to end up experiencing God's strength. You will become strong through the wisdom of God. Psalm 110 also expresses this in a very interesting way. Verse 2, the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Okay, so the church is also a reference to Zion. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. So the church rules, the church reigns, even in the midst of enemies, even in the midst of adversaries. It does so by wisdom. We can't pray and make the devil leave the planet. Eventually, he's going to have to be thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. After that, he'll get let out and have a little bit of a last romp. I believe that'll run right around 3.5 years. And then it's a wrap. It's a total wrap on him for all time. At that point, he will be thrown into the lake of fire. Mm-mm. And we'll never hear from him ever again. Woo! He'll be suffering and burning for all eternity. Praise the Lord. So, my friends, we take the rod of wisdom and we rule over our enemies. Sin We rule over sin. The scripture says that sin shall not have dominion over you. It shall not be master over you. Woo, thank God. Hallelujah. And so we rule over our enemies of sin, over lack, over sickness, over everything that Jesus redeemed us from as he hung there on the cruel cross of Calvary. So the church is going to teach and demonstrate to the principalities and powers a lesson. They're going to get a lesson from you through multifaceted insights that you walk in concerning the deep things of God. Yes, the things that are not taught, even at MIT, they're too spiritual. You can't catch it unless you're born again. If you're not born again, you'll even think it's crazy. But with the wisdom of God, you are going to come out of every single problem that would even be facing you right now. And no matter how many demons or troublesome things are anchored to that problem that you might be experiencing, yet God's wisdom is going to remove every single one of them. Glory to God. Let's go back to Proverbs. This time, Proverbs chapter 3, and let's go to verse 17. Concerning wisdom, it says that her ways are ways of pleasantness. Is that not a beautiful word? Ooh, I like that word. I mean, who likes crudeness, right? Everybody likes pleasantness. You walk into a nice hotel, nice lobby, and you know, hey, this is going to be a nice experience. Looks good, smells good, everything's nice. There's something about pleasantness that's very, very calming. And so if you enjoy pleasantness, you're going to really want to get familiar with the wisdom of God, because it says that her ways, the ways of wisdom, are ways of pleasantness. So God's wisdom is going to make life pleasant for you. Woo! That means the problems are going to start to go away. And even though problems can still pop up, wisdom assures you that there's always a solution with God. God's wisdom enables you to not magnify a problem, especially when God only acknowledges the problem as being something that he calls common. Look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to deal with some common problems because that's all you've got. Pastor Stephen, oh, no, Pastor Stephen. I have a very complex problem that it would even confuse God. No. Hold on. Come on back to earth just for a moment. Come on back to our Bible study today. Anything that you're facing, no matter what it is, it's still common in the eyes of God. And that means something to us that we need to consider. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Wow. God's going to get you out of any problem, any mess, any sticky situation. One time, my wife and I were trying to witness to a sinner, saying, you know, come on, the Lord can work it out. The Lord can help you. He'll save you. Oh no, he said, oh no, it's complicated. Yeah, to you it is, but not to God. No way, not to God. Absolutely not. Let me give you an example. What would happen right now at your age with the wisdom that you have? What would happen right now if you got put back into like a elementary school or like a preschool class, and you had to stand in front of the other students, and the teacher asked you, what is 2 times 7? Would you start sweating? Would you break down in front of all the other little kids and start crying? I don't know. No, you already know what that is. What is 2 times 7? See, I can hear you all the way through the camera. It's 14. Praise God. Oh, but Pastor Stephen, 8 times 8, though, nobody knows that. No, you already know that. 64. And on it goes. It's not a problem. Why? You already know that. It's too easy for you. Have you ever in your life stood in front of a locked door and just broke down and started crying while you've got the key in your hand to the door? Oh, no, that's stupid, Pastor Stephen. No, I've never done that. I've never done that in a math class, and I've never done that in front of a door when I've got the key in my hand. Look, your problem that you think is unsolvable, or your temptation that you think is so intensely deep that, oh, even the angels, they faint when they see me go through it. No, no. Your situation that you think is so complex and so difficult to get out of, God looks at it as you looking at 1 + 1 = 2. That's the way it looks to God. Why? He's got wisdom that he can give to you to walk you out of any mud, out of any temptation, out of any trial, out of any problem. And it's so easy. It's so easy. You could put Jesus on any continent, on any in any nation. You could put him anywhere in the world. You could put him in the harshest climate. You could take him right now and drop him off in Haiti with gangs running around and supposedly a little bit of the wrong kind of barbecue going on. You could drop Jesus off there and just give him some time. Let him work, let him walk in the wisdom of God. And before you know it, there's going to be all around him. There will be peace, there will be stability. And if you just get around him and you watch what he's doing, I can tell you already where he's going. He's going up. He's going up. Oh, no, Pastor Steve, not even Jesus could. No, he could. He could, and he proved it too. And others who walk in the wisdom of God throughout church history and even currently are demonstrating also that if you walk in this wisdom, it will elevate you above anything life can throw at you. Now, the enemy, he will throw some things at you, but God can help solve that too. Again, to God, it's like 1 + 1 = 2. It's all so elementary. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, I've got a deep, no, you got nothing deep. All you've got is something common. Common problem is all it is. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Call your problem common. Don't call it something special. Don't say I've got some kind of rare, ultra special, blah, blah, blah. No. Say it's, even if it's a rare disease, it's just a disease. Okay, so God's been healing people from diseases all the way back till he had, since he met Abraham and the covenant was established. My friends, God's in the healing business. His name is that of a healer. So it's just another common problem. But, if you call your problem or whatever it is, your money problem, or you don't know how much debt I've got, Pastor Stephen, well, God does. He's not nervous. If you call it like a super special problem, you're calling God a liar, because God calls it common and you're over here magnifying it to be something greater than God's ability to solve, and you're making God out to be a liar, and it's impossible for God to lie. So if you've been doing that, I would encourage you, straighten up. Amen. Say, Lord, I'm not going to do that anymore. I repent. And just call it for what it is, just a common problem. Okay? And you're going to see it's going to get fixed, and then it will be gone. Wisdom of God is going to bring solutions into your life so swiftly that you will know that wisdom makes your life peaceful. Glory to God. So God wants to so lift you up that even the sinners and those that would mock God, they will acknowledge that you have something that they don't, and they know it. And many times they're going to come up to you and they're going to want to talk about it. They're going to want to learn the ways of this God that you serve. I was overseas one time. I was actually in Singapore. This was some years back, and the pastor of a very powerful church there, he said, and I spoke in this church, and we had a wonderful, wonderful time together. But he said, Pastor Stephen, he said, you understand that we here in the East, we now view America as a post-Christian nation. I said, we've given you plenty of ammunition to hang your hat on. America's done a lot of things that would seem like the Christianity element is collapsing. But you know what? I said, our nation, though, was built on a covenant with God. And all of our early founding fathers embraced that covenant. And even when they came over on the Mayflower and the pilgrims came over, there were the original ones that cut covenant with God. So I said, it may look like we're down, but we're not out, not by any means. And we're about, my friends, we're about to see the wind of the Spirit blow again. And we're going to see change. We're going to see change that is going to be absolutely remarkable. But the main change will be in the awakening of the sleeping giant, the church. Glory. Not just the American church. The global church is going to begin to rise, praise the Lord. And there will be many that will want to come to us and know the ways of God. Because they're going to say, what we've been doing, it's not working. Things aren't working really, and we don't have the solutions. But it doesn't make any sense. It's working for you. So what's going on? What are you doing? And that's going to start the conversation. Now, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days. My friends, we're there. We're living at the end of time. Woo! God knew that you would be born now. And you've got what it takes to be here. Oh, it's too crazy, Pastor Stephen. It's a psyop operation. I can't take it anymore. You're going to be okay. Yes, here in the West, we do get a lot of, I would call it atheistic, communistic propaganda from our legacy news organizations, from our current governmental officials and so forth. But you know what? That's going to change and God's going to move and we're going to see the great end time harvest. And it's going to be epic. And that's what you're here for. Now, it shall come to pass in the latter days, that's right now, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be on the bottom, right, Pastor Stephen? No, shall be established on the top of the mountains. On the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. Okay, so the ways of God and the ancient paths of God are his ways of wisdom. That's what's being dispensed. The wisdom of God, the ways of God, the paths of God. This is how you walk with God. This is what God commands. This is what God instructs. Praise the Lord. So this is the wisdom that is unveiled through the church in the latter days, in the end times. And wisdom is the principal means that God's going to use to establish his church, his people, now in these final days that we're living in. Praise God. So very quickly, let me just talk about some of the virtues of wisdom. I want to speak mainly on one, because if we look at them all, there's seven, and that would take another message entirely to cover that. But let's talk about the first one, and there's a reason it's put first. We're going to go now to James chapter 3, verse 17. Now, in the preceding verses, verse 13, 14, 15, and 16, it talks about the wisdom down here that is within the world, the earthly wisdom. It's earthly, sensual, and it's demonic, and it stirs up envy and self-seeking and confusion. But now we come to God's wisdom, verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above. Now remember, if it's from above, it's above everything else. It's above the fake wisdom down here. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Now, there are other virtues of the wisdom of God, but let's talk about purity for a moment. Jesus, he had a conversation with the Jewish leaders one time, and they're, of course, accusing him and making false allegations against him. But he asked them a question, and there are certain questions that Jesus would ask that were just kind of like they didn't have answers for. Let's take a look at this one. John chapter 8. Wow. John chapter 8, verse 46. Mm-mm. Glory to God. John 8, verse 46. Well, verse 45. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Verse 46. Which of you convicts me of sin? Woo! Which of you? Okay, so you don't like what I'm teaching. You don't like what I'm saying. You don't believe I'm the Messiah. Okay, whatever. Which of you convicts me of sin? Ooh, they couldn't. I mean, and there's not one. Out of the hundreds, out of all of these leaders, out of the thousands of priests, there's not one can say, well, hey, we saw you, or we know what you did when you were 8 years old. Nobody on the planet can accuse him of any sin. Wow, which of you convicts me of sin? And he said it publicly with such confidence and boldness. Wow, he knew his walk with God was right. Look at this in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. And this would be verse 54. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Well, when you consider these two verses, John 8, 46, Matthew 13, 54, it would therefore follow that the wisdom that Jesus was displaying in his life and ministry was rooted in purity. Mm-mm. The wisdom of God is first pure. Woo! Hallelujah. So to operate in God's wisdom, you must be living a life of purity. Praise God. You know, I'm sure there are some of you that are watching that would be struggling with some, we would just call them sin habits. But you know what? If that's the case, don't ever be comfortable with a sin habit. Why? Because you have a glorious destiny, and you don't want anything to destroy that. You don't want anything to impede that. So endeavor to deal with any type of habit that dishonors the Lord. Get the blood of Jesus against it and watch it dissolve and fade out of your life. Praise God. Learn to invite the Lord into your struggle. Oh, I don't want him to see it. He already knows. He already does see it. You might as well invite him into it. Lord, come right now into this mess I'm in with your grace. And I've got a little problem going on here. So just come on into the midst of it anyhow. Obviously, you see it. So just help me. And you will. He will. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Again, Romans chapter 6, verse 14 says that sin shall not have dominion over you. And it can't over a believer who knows his authority in Christ and knows what Jesus accomplished for him on Calvary. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Luke 24, the Gospel of Luke 24, verse 46. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Well, it's very popular in the church today to just say, well, God loves you. God loves you. Everything's good. God loves you. Well, what about repent? I mean, Jesus said, preach repentance. Preach repentance and remission of sins. That would mean the taking away of sins. Preach it to all nations. Well, we don't need to repent. No, yes, you do. Praise God. If you've done something wrong, well, just repent, get right with the Lord. Praise God. But that's something that we need to brace, because purity is very important, because it is a degree of the pipeline through which the wisdom flows. And if the pipeline is full of mud and goop, it will impede the flow of the wisdom of God. God wants to get it to you, and he's going to try to send it to you. But you've got to be walking in purity so that you can be on that wisdom frequency. No, I'm not expecting you to elevate 4 inches off the ground and float around with a halo over your head. Although if you do, that's a wonderful thing. Praise God. A wonderful thing. But purity is something that you have to contend for in your life. Get up early in the morning and pray. Did you ever notice when it talks about the resurrection of the Lord? You know, I saw some of the pictures that were posted on Instagram. You know, and people they're happy. Jesus has risen from the dead. And he shows him kind of like, you know, the stones rolled away and he's coming out of the tomb and the sun's shining. But if you read carefully in the Gospels, by the time the sun came up, he's gone. He's already gone. He's long gone. He's long gone. He's long gone. Get up early. Get up early in the morning and seek God. Hallelujah. How do we know that? Well, because it says the women came to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus while it was still dark. Mm-mm. And he's not even there. He's already gone. It's still dark and he's already gone. One of the greatest things you can do is have an hour of devotional time with God and get it in before the sun ever comes over the horizon. Praise God. I was reading a little bit about Thomas Jefferson today, one of our former U.S. presidents, and he did say, he wrote this when I think he was 78 years old when he wrote this. He said, there has never been a day once in my life where the sun has caught me in bed. In other words, he has always been up and out of bed before the sun ever came up. Now, I can't say that. I've had some days where I slept in. Woo, praise the Lord. Amen. But Jesus was up early on Resurrection Day. Now, of course, you got something, grand. This is your big day. Yeah, get up early. But I think it's a pattern. I would submit that it is. Praise the Lord. Particularly what we see about his ministry in the Gospel of Mark. Getting up early, a long while before the sun came up, to go out and pray. Praise the Lord. What is that? Elements. Multifaceted elements of the wisdom of God that when you apply them, they do what? They lift you up. Mm-mm. The wisdom that is above all will set you above all. Now, I want to pray today for an impartation of the spirit of wisdom, for the grace of purity to be upon your life. Now, just because I use the word grace doesn't mean it just automatically flows. You have to contend for that. You have to press into that. Praise the Lord. You know, no condemnation, because many of us, we were ushered into this world with a lot of luggage. Maybe our parents had some really naughty things in their lives and they never overcame. And so when we were conceived, that was all passed down through the bloodline and stuff like that. And next thing you know, you're acting just like that. And then you get saved. Hallelujah. You're born again. You're ready for heaven. You're ready to go to heaven. But you still need to overcome some things. That's why Jesus gave the promise to to the one who overcomes. There are promises that are made to the overcomers. What does that mean? Well, it means we've got things to overcome. So you just get serious and you deal with it and you say, well, it's time for this thing to leave. And it's ending in my life, in my lineage. It's not happening anymore. It's getting cut off right now. Praise the Lord. So let me pray for you for wisdom and purity. Lift your hands. Father, I pray for everybody watching, everybody hungry. Lord, I pray that the spirit of wisdom would touch their minds right now, and that they would crave wisdom, not worldly wisdom, but spiritual wisdom. Father, your wisdom, let it come on them as oil upon their minds right now, and let the walk of purity, which is the first virtue of wisdom, let purity be established in their lives as a top priority, as a top conduit for the oil of wisdom to flow. Now, Father, we give you all of the praise, all of the praise in Jesus' name. Bless your people with this fresh oil in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo! Praise God. Mm-mm. I hope you're up early tomorrow morning. Praise God. Amen. Walking in the wisdom of God. Walking in the wisdom. How can I say it? Taking revelation and marrying it to reality, how you actually live your life. So that's what it is. You've got to get these revelations, such as the wisdom of God, into you. How do you do it? Well, get up early and pray. Actually do it. Woo, praise God. This and other things that we'll be talking about. All right, so today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is your day of salvation. I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me so that you can make your peace with God. Just say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of all of my sins. Save me. Wash me with your precious blood. Wash me clean from all sin. Jesus, write my name in your book of life and save me now. Step into my life and lead me and guide me from this day forward. In your name I pray. Amen. And amen. Woo! Just say thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's take Holy Communion today. Grab some unleavened bread. Grab some grape juice. If you're watching, don't click off. Come on, take communion with me. It is one of the great mysteries in the body of Christ. It is the wisdom of God in a heavy, heavy way. It's another color, another aspect of the wisdom of God. Let's take communion together. Grab some grape juice, some unleavened bread, a little cracker, whatever you've got. Let's pray. Father, we bless the bread and the juice. We set it apart as being holy through this prayer. And we thank you that this is now the body and the blood of Jesus. Father, as we receive the Lord's flesh, we thank you for miracles. We believe you for miracles. We believe you for every bill paid, every debt paid off, for health in our bodies, for strength and energy. Father, you said that you would renew our youth like the eagles. I thank you, Father, for those that are watching in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and upward, that energy and strength of an eagle come into them as we now receive the Lord's flesh. Let's partake together. You know, the devil has harassed you long enough. Let's terminate it today. And because now you're going to walk in the wisdom of God, you will begin to humiliate him on every side. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that speaks of purity, that speaks of nearness, that we can draw near through the blood. Father, we thank you for all sins forgiven and a clear conscience with you and our fellow man. We give you all of the praise. Now, Father, we thank you and we receive the Lord's blood. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's partake together of the blood of Jesus Christ, our Messiah. Woo! Praise God. Let me put up on the screen right now ways in which you can sow into the ministry. You can give by mailing in your offering. You can also give by going online. Praise the Lord. We have our website, stephenbrooks.org. Go up to the top, the header up top, give online. Click that and you'll see the various ways in which you can bring your offering in anywhere from around the world, long as you can jump on the internet. Praise God. Or maybe a satellite phone, whatever works for you. Praise the Lord. But we do thank you for your support as we are expanding. And we have also good news. It's a little bit preliminary. I don't have all the info, but long story short, we have signed on with Faith TV. Woo, praise God. Let's see here, DirecTV satellite. So that would cover all of America for anybody that's on DirecTV. I'll have that channel information, all of that put on the website, and I'll share that very soon. But also DirecTV, while covering the U.S. With Faith, through Faith TV, also Faith TV covers all of the U.K. as well. So all of our friends in U.K., you'll be able to watch us also now on Faith TV, as well as now hitting a big chunk of Africa, because Faith TV is actually based out of South Africa, and we'll be hitting Africa a whole lot more. So, my friends, thank you. Your giving, your support is helping us to reach around the world with messages that strengthen God's people to prepare them for the Lord's return. And may the Lord bless all of your giving. Praise God. Woo, that is also seed sowing is the wisdom of God. Well, thank you for joining me today. I look forward to seeing you back real soon. Have a great day and a great rest of the week. God bless you. Bye-bye.